Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
All right, well, if you have a Bible, please turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And the title of this message is Good or No Good. Well, there was a popular TV game show called Deal or No Deal. You may have heard of it. In it, the contestants would try to pick the highest box with the most reward. By process of elimination, they would whittle down boxes by choosing which ones would not be a part of that. And at the end, they had to choose one, and they may or may not have picked the right one. We have that same kind of choice to make in regards to who Jesus is. Is he good or no good? When we look at this question of who is Jesus, there are really three choices. He is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Earlier this year, I was doing some research about significant figures in the world. And I came across this article, and it was talking about a new process for collecting data. And they decided to use it on Wikipedia to go through Wikipedia and find out who was the most prominent figure in the world based upon the amount of information people posted about certain characters. So I thought this was intriguing. Well, there is a new ranking system that based this listing from Wikipedia's last year's data. The list was created by analyzing the impact a figure has had on people's opinions over history. So here is the top 10 most significant figures in human history. Let's go and start with number 10. Thomas Jefferson, Alexander the Great, Aristotle, Adolf Hitler, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. I thought that was interesting that three U.S. presidents was in that top 10 list. The Prophet Muhammad, William Shakespeare, Napoleon Bonaparte. And I started thinking, Napoleon Bonaparte? And I was like, well, if you're in France and you don't have a lot to do, you go on Wikipedia and type stuff. Maybe that generates more hits for Napoleon. But number one, Jesus. So according to Wikipedia, Jesus is the most significant figure in history. Regardless of man's opinions, Jesus is the most significant figure in human history. Why? What made him so significant? Was it because he was a prolific writer? Was it because he was a strategic general? Was it because he was a great ruler? All of these may be true in a spiritual sense or even in the millennium to come, but in his humanity, he was none of those. He is significant because he paid for our soul on the cross. He paid with his life. And everybody who puts their trust and faith in him to be their Savior and Lord, he has forgiven their sins and given them eternal life. And that is why he is the most significant person in my history. So I want to take a look at the question, who was Jesus? And we'll see this in John chapter 7, verse 12. And who speaks about Jesus? And we'll see that in verse 13. So let's go ahead and look at our text, John chapter 7, verse 10. The Bible says, "But after his brothers left for the festival, Jesus also went secretly, staying out of the public view." Verse 11, "The Jewish leaders tried to find him at the festival and kept asking if anyone had seen him. There was a lot of grumbling about him among the crowds. Some argued, 'He is a good man,' but others said, 'He's nothing but a fraud who deceives people.'" Verse 13, but no one had the courage to speak favorably about him in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the Jewish leaders. Interesting. So let's take a look at this first question. Who is Jesus? Verse 12. There was a lot of grumbling about him, and among the crowd, some argued, "Yeah, he's a good man," and some didn't believe at all, said he was a fraud. So who do people say Jesus is? Some people argue that Jesus is a good man. Well, Jesus asked this question, this very same question, to his disciples. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And I like what the disciples' answer was in verse 14, Matthew chapter 16, verse 14. So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." It's interesting enough that atheists think that Jesus was either a good magician, incredibly charismatic, a real person but not divine, a great moral leader, or even a deceiver. Those are some of the top picks that they have for Jesus. Well, Peter steps up to the plate and hits a home run with his remarks in his response. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Most people didn't catch what Jesus asked. He actually gave them the answer. See, the reference to being the Son of Man was an Old Testament reference to the Messiah. It is like asking these simple questions. Who is buried in Grant's tomb? Grant. When was the War of 1812? 1812. What is the name of Dade's daughter's father? Dade. What is the name of the senior pastor of the church that Pastor Patrick goes to? Patrick. But Jesus says, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. But Jesus already gave them the answer. This passage begs the question, well, who is Jesus? Is he good or no good? As I mentioned earlier, there are basically three answers. Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. So let's take a look at these. The same argument that Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord was first introduced by C.S. Lewis in his book called Mere Christianity. And I highly encourage all of you to get a copy of that book and read it. It was really good. But here is his argument. He says, and I quote, "I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who said the sort of thing Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or someone worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit on him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." So, let's look at these three options. Is Jesus a liar? Well, a liar by definition is a person who tells lies. Jesus is not a liar, nor is he the cleverest of all deceivers, because liars don't raise people from the dead. Frauds don't heal sick people. They don't banish disease from a nation for a duration of 3 years. Frauds don't dominate the world of demons either. and neither do frauds lie, and having been buried, come out of the grave, because Jesus is alive. Someone who lies does not do the things that Jesus did. John chapter 12, verse 17. Therefore, people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. So these people were bearing witness of the fact that Jesus called Lazarus out and Lazarus did come out. Now, if Jesus was a liar, he would have said, hey, someone come out. And someone could have come out and he's like, hey, see, look what I did. No, but he called Lazarus specifically by name. He said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. Or Jesus could have been a lunatic. Jesus could have been a lunatic. But a lunatic, by definition, is an insane person. A person whose actions and manner are marked by extreme eccentricity or recklessness. The New Testament is written clearly to make it obvious to any reader that Jesus is not a lunatic. Lunatics don't heal sick people either. They don't raise people from the dead. And they don't dominate demons. Lunatics don't speak the way that Jesus spoke. They don't think the way that he thought. And they don't have love and compassion the way that he did. Lunatics don't act as the way that Jesus acted. Lunatics don't attract women and children. They only cause fear. Lunatics aren't marked by kindness and mercy and compassion and love, but Jesus was. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Lunatics would have found that as an opportunity to do harm and cause disruption and chaos. But Jesus showed love and compassion. Well, what if Jesus is Lord? The third answer, or the third option, is Jesus Lord? So really, we're left with this one alternative with regard to Jesus. Unless you want to join those who think that he is a lunatic, or those who think that he's the greatest liar of all time, you're left with this one option. And that option is that he is who he claimed to be, that he is God. The evidence is in. He was virgin born, sinless life, power over the physical world, power over the spiritual world, power over life, power over death, power over creation. Clearly, Jesus is Lord. Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Starting at verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 24. The Bible says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. John chapter 20, verse 25. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. 8 days later, the disciples were gathered together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wounds in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas explained. Verse 29, then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Is that you? Verse 30, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miracles, miraculous signs, in addition to the ones recorded in this book. Verse 31, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. You know, it is one thing to think it, to accept it, to believe it. The Bible says that even demons believe. But it is altogether a different thing to confess it. So I want to publicly confess to you today that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, my Savior. Well, who speaks about Jesus? Verse 13. John chapter 7, going back to John chapter 7, verse 13. Who confesses that Jesus is Lord? John 7, verse 13. But no one had courage to speak favorably about him in public. When I read that, I melted. For they were afraid of gathering, or they were afraid of getting in trouble with the Jewish leaders. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what am I afraid of? I'm talking about Jesus, God, the creator of the heavens and the universe. What do I have to fear? This passage poses a powerful point that every pupil of the Prince of Peace should ponder and prevail. Have you ever been afraid of getting in trouble, of confessing Jesus as Lord in front of maybe your peers, your co-workers, your fellow students, relatives, friends, the government? Maybe for fear of retribution, or fear of being ridiculed by your friends, or fear of being fired, a fear of being put in prison by the government. Or maybe you have a fear of just speaking. You know, it takes a lot of courage to confess Jesus publicly. The same type of courage it takes to say your own name. I'll say my own name, Dade. That's how much courage it takes to say Jesus is Lord. Fear is a big stumbling block in the life of Christians, in the life of believers. I like to say that it takes a real man and a real woman to confess Jesus as Lord. Because the alternative is the easy way out. But the easy way out always has a negative consequence. Peter and John learned this lesson as told in Acts chapter 4. And if you want to turn there, Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Let's go ahead and read this story about Peter and John and how they were dealt with the same problem. Acts 4:1. The Bible says, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captains of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus, there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them. Since it was already evening, they put him in the jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the numbers of the believers now totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Verse 5. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. I got to tell you, that sounds pretty intimidating. Notice what it says. All the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. And Peter and John are going to confront this group. Verse 6. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. they brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Verse 11, for Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Verse 14, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. What should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. Verse 18, so they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Verse 20, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot, for everyone was praising God. Verse 22, for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. So don't let anything prevent you from confessing Jesus as Lord. Take courage and speak out your faith in God. Don't let anybody silence your faith. Don't let anybody silence your right to speak about Jesus. Even if there is consequences, I would rather take the consequences than to not speak about my Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Interesting. That's a great promise by Jesus. But then verse 33, Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. So after examining the choices of liar, lunatic, or Lord, we can come to an easy conclusion that Jesus is Lord. And if Jesus is Lord, then Jesus is good. My final thought that I want to leave with you is this. Be bold for Jesus. Be bold for Jesus. Even the apostles had to ask for boldness in prayer. But God loves you, and he wants you to confess him as Lord and Savior. And he wants you to tell the world about him. So let's pray for boldness, that this Christmas season we will be bold in Jesus' name, to tell people what a good Savior we have. Psalm chapter 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for boldness. Just like you gave Peter and John, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to empower us to be bold, to declare that you, Jesus, are the Messiah, the Son of God, and you are my Savior, you are my Lord, and you are my God. And I put my trust and faith in you and not in anything in this world, Lord. Lord, empower us to be a vocal for you, Lord, to be a voice for you this season. Lord, we know that there are going to be opportunities coming up this Christmas in various events. Lord, help us to be bold, to declare you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through his word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in his mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And he rose again in glory, promising eternal life with him forever for those who put their trust in him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are his. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.